welcome to the home of explanations. You've got explanations galore because you've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning, and happy to be with you. An absolute pleasure. It's a crisp, December morning. You're going to find it just to be a little bit chilly out there, but it is. It's dry. That's a lovely thing. We'll absolutely take dry and snow free, and goodness, a great opportunity for us to spend the next couple of hours getting you as much information as we possibly can to help you and the people that you love in your life to do things as well financially as we possibly can. Mr. John, how are you this morning? John. Saluted using most of his fingers. Nice. Thank you so much. And John, thanks so much for holding down the fort last week during our live performance over at the More Than Money World headquarters.
Oh, you're welcome.
And thanks for coming over and saying hey.
Well, I was out, was on my way home.
Yeah, let's not make too much of it. Let's not get all emotional here.
And may I also say you did a great job phoning it in last week. I'm sorry.
The word literally comes to mind. That's exactly how we do it. That's Bobby Williams cranks up the phone systems, and here we are. Indeed. Thanks to John. Thanks to Bobby Williams. Bobby does a great job, and he and John are a really, really, really good team. That leaves me with the easy part, being the pretty face. I know, we all laugh instantly. It's just somehow that seems wrong, but harsh and hurtful. But just wrong, not harsh, not hurtful. Thanks. And for all of you who spent part of your Saturday, last Saturday morning with us, thank you so much. It's just so much fun to spend time with friends and clients and our whole More Than Money family in a season of Thanksgiving and a season of celebration with Christmas coming up. It's just so much fun. And just having you folks there, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And I want to send a very, very special thank you to a young lady who's relatively new to our team but has made a tremendous impact in a short order. Stephanie Thompson is remarkable, and she was responsible for the entire appearance of the office. She set up all the invitations. She set up all the nummies. It was just great fun, and Stephanie did a fabulous job. The office has never looked better, even when Greg broke the nativity scene. Welcoming the dulcet tones of Mr. Bobby Gunther Walsh.
Morning. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, sir. How are you?
Good.
Are you, you're still vertical after a couple weeks of...
crazy fundraising. Yesterday was a stressful day.
Stressful, but...
Successful.
Successful. There's two words that you don't mind having a little bit of a poem.
No.
So we're almost wrapped up. You're telling me Monday is kind of the cleanup
day.
The
wrap-up day, yeah. And what happened, there's two reasons we do it. Actually, there's somebody that wants to give $1,000 matching money, and they wanted to give it as challenge money. They didn't want to just give it. So we're doing that Monday to get that. But the other reason is I would come in here on a Monday after this crazy Friday where we took calls till like 11 o'clock in the morning after off the air. We take them all day, but I'm talking about intense calls after on Friday. And then I'd come in here Monday and I'd hear the phones ringing. And I thought, we're missing those calls. So we come in Monday now, we take the calls and still make a couple more $1,000 and put it to good use. We have enough presents for... the kids all have 10 presents. We had 7 new arrivals to the home, putting us, adding to the total of children that will get presents. So we have enough presents for all the children to have about 10 presents at the next Saturday at the party in the gym at the Children's Home of Easton. That's at 12 noon, and you're welcome to come on down, folks. Mm. So we'll have enough presents for all the kids to have about 10 presents, and then there'll be presents for them for Christmas morning. Mm. And then we now have, this has become so successful, we have money that we the children's home knows they can't use to buy a new copier or a new van. Mm. They buy it for kids that are going on a job interview to get a suit or to be an extracurricular activity by gym clothes, whatever it might be, soccer, whatever it might be.
Piano lessons.
Yes, yeah, things like that, that a parent would normally buy, that the children's home does not have that in their budget. So, you know, for the kids that are leaving the home, buying them a microwave, set of dishes, pots, pans, things like that. So you guys are amazing. That's really great listeners.
Well, the impact, the stories are amazing.
Yeah.
The willingness of foster parents, the willingness of them to take children, God bless them, into their homes and love them, until they're able to be in a place that's more permanent or safer or happier.
And what's really interesting is if you heard some of the kids and the alumni, they still feel like it's their home. Marquita, who was at the first party we ever did 35 years ago, called in twice, and she still talks to Anita. Anita was there when she was a young girl.
And 35 years ago.
And she said, it's still my home. They still help me when I need somebody to talk to. And I couldn't believe how many alumni, 20 years, 5 years have left, and it's still home. They go back for the party. They still talk and are in touch with different people that of the staff. So it's a great staff. But the other thing is, you hear horror stories about foster parents. The children's home vets the foster parents of these kids, so that if any of them are in foster care or off-campus care, so that they get that same attention and connection and feeling of love and home that they get if they were on campus. And a lot of kids are on campus, but they have this, as you know, this program where if they really behave well, they get to go into a group. Instead of being in a dorm-like setting, they get to go into a house.
Sure.
And that's a thrill for a kid to be in a house.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. So. Fantastic. Well, congratulations.
Yes, we did a great job. Congratulations, please, folks. Thank you so much.
Are you taking calls the weekend or just Monday?
No. Well, they can call now, and it's being transferred to Cynthia's phone. So,
Why don't you give a phone number?
610-841-4999. Thank you to Ironton for setting up a phone system that has answering machines, and so if we're ever busy on a day when we're getting a ton of calls, it goes to voicemail and we can call people back, but also giving us the ability to forward all these calls right now. It gets forwarded to Cynthia's phone and all weekend long. So 610-841-4999, and then we'll be in here Monday, and then next Saturday. You've been to the party.
I have.
And it's very moving. It really...
And later today, you're taking the risk. You're going out into the public, exposing yourself to the public. What did I say?
What did he say?
I'm sorry. One of the coolest places in the valley.
Yeah, dance camera.
Dance camera is so cool.
So the girls are asleep. My granddaughters. I bought them these Fuji Instax cameras, Instax. It's basically the Polaroid camera redone.
Wow.
And they have the Taylor Swift model, which is the larger pictures for adults, the pictures.
You're going to keep that one for yourself, the Taylor Swift one. That's probably for you.
And and then there's the smaller ones, which the smaller pictures, and I got one for each of the pink and blue or pink and purple cameras. And so the girl and I bought them enough film and everything at Dan's to do that for them for Christmas. They're going to have a blast with that. And so, there's all kinds of cool stuff over there. It's fun. I mean, they're from 10 to noon, but it goes on all day. They're a big 41st anniversary, 41 years.
I'm not a photographer. My wife is, my youngest daughter is. They understand a lot of that stuff. Me, I'm as dumb as a box of bricks. And yet when I go to Canton to dance, and I go there often, my wife is thinking maybe, I don't know. And they're so helpful. And they're so gentle with us ignorant folks because they know so much that they could embarrass anybody that walks through the door. And they don't do that. Yeah. They're so accommodating. It's got to come from the top because everybody I've ever dealt with, whether it's Easton or 15th Street, they're just fabulous. I'll share a dance story with you. I went in about 6 months ago with the most prized photo that I own. And I wanted to have it reproduced because I was afraid that it was going to be deteriorate. It was a Polaroid. Uh-huh. It was a Polaroid of my oldest daughter, Allie.
Oh, wow.
On her first day on this planet.
Oh.
at 1 pound, 15 ounces.
Well, she was a preemie too.
Preemie, yes, oh, yes, wow. Yes. She's holding my finger, and her hand goes halfway around my index finger. Her hand wasn't an inch long, her entire hand. And one of the nurses there, I'm sad to say I don't remember her name, young girl, very, very sweet, very attentive. We had two of the most amazing angels that took care of this little one and made sure that I had it, and I carried that for so long that I, again, it's a Polaroid. They tend to deteriorate, and Dan's was able to not only reproduce it, but clean it up,
enhance
it, make it clean, and then, of course, put it on electronic.
Yeah.
So it'll never be lost. And so now my daughter has a copy of that. And
let me tell you what I do every so often, and I might do it today. I take my cell phone, and I have them download all my digital photos
that's
off
really
the
smart.
Phone.
Yeah.
And say, oh, it's up in the cloud. I put them on a thumb drive. It's in my safe. I just have them download them. And
that's really cool.
Yeah, they do that for you. You know, all your old VHS tapes that you have, they put those, they transfer the VHS to DVD. Those are family memories. When's the last time you looked at a videotape? But you took them and you were recording memories. Now, why aren't we looking at them?
Mm, good point.
Yeah.
You're listening to Mr. Bobby Gunther Walsh, the dulcet tones.
Yes.
We were having fun with that phrase last week. And so now you're the victim of dulcet tones. Bobby Gunther Walsh.
We used to have a guy named Jim Brando who was on the air. Mike's side with the morning cup of coffee. And he would say to me, the women love me because of my voice. See, they like you for your comedy, but they like me because he had this deep voice. And he always did this thing. He would be on the mic, and he would always do this thing with his shoulder when he was on the air.
I was going to say, by the way, it's radio. They can't.
Yeah, he would do this thing. Jim Brando, Mike's side with the morning cup of coffee, with the dulcet tones here this morning.
Now, speaking of dulcet tones, not everybody appreciates your dulcet tones, do they? On occasion, you get somebody that gets a little snarky with you.
Oh, absolutely,
okay,
yes.
Then you will appreciate this. I wasn't going to share this, but since you're with me this morning, even if no one else in my audience appreciates this, I think you will.
Okay.
Because I got a fan letter.
Okay.
Fan email. We won't give the gentleman's name.
Okay.
I was disappointed. As soon as you say disappointed, you know it's not going to go well. I was disappointed to see you voice your approval of Mr. Trump's financial policies. It shows again this country's acceptance of wealth over morals. I used to watch your show sometimes, but obviously I can't respect you anymore. Any nod to Mr. Trump in my mind makes you an enemy of the people and the earth. And the pursuit of sustainable life on the planet.
Oh.
I have become, is Antichrist over the top? Is that?
Well, I think you are.
Thank you.
His license plate number 666.
Start. Yeah. I feel that your little nod to Trump also indicates you're okay with blah, 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 destroying the environment, backroom deals, racism, because President Trump's been so horrible to people of color. All those millions of jobs that have been created are so horrible. They should depend on... All right, forget that. He didn't say that. Too bad. I liked you. Oh, well. I doubt you care, but I want to let you know how that little...
Well, he got that part right.
That's exactly. Made my skin crawl and stripped all respect for you. Even to the point that I now see you as a danger and threat to my pursuit of happiness. Good day, sir.
A dangerous threat to his pursuit of happiness.
Now, you want to, as if that couldn't be more fun. And I get, I'm supposed to be offended. I'm supposed to be hurt. I like this.
Actually, Gene, I'm serious, folks. Everybody that sends him these letters, he comes in. I kid you not. I've never seen anybody do this. Maybe Rush does this. Gene comes in. I don't know that Rush deliberately tries to offend people. I know Gene doesn't deliberately try to offend anybody. But when he comes in on some Saturday, he's all happy. I said, what are you happy about? Oh, you should see this crazy letter I got. And then he's thrilled.
Oh,
you
it's
love
so
it.
Much fun. It's just... And
people think they're hurting your feelings.
They're making my day.
Whenever he's seriously, this is crazy. If I wanted to hurt, you know, so I could probably open up complaints and go, oh man, this makes me feel bummed. He opens them up to cheer himself up. He has a whole book of them. Let me be. Oh, that one was great. This is like these letters are his antidepressant.
The only thing that I regret, and it's not regret, the only thing that I'm a little not as happy about with emails,
yeah,
is that the handwriting on the people who are really snarky, the handwriting is fabulous because you're going, okay, there's a lot going on in your life. It's got nothing to do with me. It is. You're absolutely right. I do enjoy it maybe more than I should. But I kind of measure my
You feel if you're not getting any complaints, you're not getting...
Oh, goodness. If everybody approves of everything I say, oh, man, how boring is that got to be? That's a snooze fest. But more importantly, the stuff they object to is really kind of my litmus test. Because, his financial... Trump's financial policy is so bad. Really? If that's where you're starting...
You could debate whether we should be doing tariffs or something like that.
You could debate his tone. You could debate Twitter. You could debate. I get that.
You can't debate the numbers and success with employment.
No.
I get, though, that you could debate tariffs because people have mixed feelings about that.
And debate, sure.
Yeah.
You might say,
I think it's wrong because this, that, or the other thing.
And I might disagree, but it doesn't make you an enemy of the planet. Or worse,
you're ruining his happiness.
His pursuit of happiness, and then ironically, because Mark in our office is he's pretty quick, and he looked at this, and of course I'm laughing, I'm sharing it with everybody, and they're like, "Oh, this is great stuff," and he noticed this gentleman's email address, and it's tied to a website, and so he goes to the website, and this gentleman has an email or a website that promotes and I won't give the name because. That I'm not here to promote him. It's an Eastern cultural or religious, almost a religious kind of thing that promotes love, peace, and harmony. Come on. You can't make that up. This is fabulous. That is one of the most vitriolic letters I've ever received. And he's all about love, peace, and harmony. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Well, I want to tell you, I agree with everything you just said.
Everything he just said?
No, everything you just said.
Oh, thanks.
Everything. Said that would be boring. I agree with everything you just said, Gene. Everything. I agree. I'm taking the Gene pill.
Oh, you're such a horrible person. But I say that in the nicest sense.
Oh, yeah, of course. How else could you have meant that? How else? Well, of course I'm not insulted.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the wonderful – congratulations to your audience.
Yes, because I'm telling you –
for their generosity.
I don't want to – I just – it's crazy.
It is crazy.
How good they've been. My audience has been so good to me through my own stuff and through all the charities that mattered to me and just everything. And they're friends and they're just good people.
Oh, fabulous.
This is the best – seriously, I have had offers to leave and I'm like – I don't want to leave my friend. I was never driven by, I could be in a big market. If I want to be in a big market, I'll go to Wegmans. Seriously, my first thought is, I don't want to leave my friends, which is the audience.
Well, and folks, you're kind of listening in on two guys that are of a similar age that Bobby's a professional in radio. I'm an amateur. There's no question. But we've had experience in radio. Radio is a weird industry.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, there's a lot of people in radio today that have some really weird ideas about what makes good radio. And the reality for anybody that has eyes and ears is that if you wanted to create great radio, you would just listen to the Bobby Gunther Walsh show every day, take some notes, because it's anybody can broadcast in one direction, sending out, here's my ideas, I'm a great guy. You are truly the master of the conversation. Your connection, your relationship with your audience is not one way. It's not they're out there just listening. I just listen to Bobby because I just listen. The interaction is incredible. And part of it, without a doubt, is the work that you do in the community, without a doubt. But part of it is your willingness. Well, you'll be at dance today. You'll accept a fair amount of abuse. And that's from your friends. I mean, you're in the community a lot, both professionally and personally. Mm-hmm. And as a result, when you say, I don't want to miss my friends, you're not talking metaphorically.
No.
You're not talking theoretically. You're talking about the thousands of people that
I feel or really feel a connection to.
The spaghetti dinner. How many hundreds of people come through? Is it
almost 1,000 this year?
And it's handshakes and it's conversations and it's a quick story.
It's
and
a family reunion. This is the Animals in Distress Sunday, the last day of the radiothon, down to the shelters, about 1,000 people. It's crazy. And I just feel like they're all a chance for me. And then you get done and you realize you feel like you're at your own wedding and you didn't get to say hi to everybody. So then you feel like I didn't talk to that person. You start saying, oh, I hope they're not mad because I care. I mean,
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't know how long you've been doing Children's Home. How long have you?
This is 35 years.
35 years. So there's a woman out there who 35 years ago went to the Christmas party and was shown love and compassion by strangers.
Marquita, yeah.
And 35 years later, that impact is still walking with her every day of her life.
Yeah.
Those thousands, maybe tens of thousands of people that you, not I broadcast to, I hope they heard my message. No, touched.
Oh, by their contributions? I mean, I've had all the different alumni on. And so when he was said, when were you there? 2013. I said, folks, when I was asking you in 2013, you didn't know, but this was the result you were producing. This young man who's so well-spoken, who's now going to be a pilot, who's doing that, is just, that's when Marquita, who's now got, you know, or Gina Emmons, who the story that she told on Friday was just unbelievable. And she's now got 4 kids and a lot of grandkids, and that was a child who saw her father murder her mother at almost 4 years old. And then abused in foster care. And then she shows up at the children's home with a bag with 3 pair of underwear and 1 set of clothing and shoes that were too small. And Mike Danicek instantly said, we got to get this girl. And went out and bought her clothing. And then that was, I think that might have also been 84. I forget which year it was. It might have been 89. So when you were giving in 89, now you produce this person. It's just amazing. Our listeners have, I just hope they realize they should feel good about themselves, whether they hear the laughs at that party and the kids yelling and screaming and having fun, or when they hear these stories, they did that.
And when you say they should feel good about themselves, that's true. And many of your listeners are my listeners. Many of your listeners are my clients. They're in our More Than Money World headquarters often. And so whenever there's an opportunity, I take a shot at you and give you a little shot in the ribs and they appreciate that. And then they always wrap by saying, yeah, but Bobby's got his things, but you know what? We got a chance to help out with Keystone Warriors. We got a chance to help out with the rescue mission. We got a chance to animals. Are you kidding me? We all love animals. Most days we'd rather hang with animals than humans. They appreciate that you give them the mechanism, the vehicle. They want to help. It's just sometimes they're not sure how.
And they want to have good organizations. These are local organizations.
Oh, there's no question about it. And you are, in many ways, the screening, the clearinghouse for, hey, I've really worked with these people for a long time, and I trust them, and I see what they do. Because a lot of us now, we hear something, and it's an appeal. Hey, these people need help. Is that true? Is it a scam? GoFundMe, homeless guy helped me. We raised 400 grand and then we spent it. That never happens here.
No, we work hard and I look at their budgets and we have meetings year round with every one of my charities and talk about goals and what my goals are for them with the money to make, because it's your money, folks. And I'm dealing with people who are principled and know that, but we always just kind of reaffirm it every year, make sure this is getting budgeted. So any money, how much do we have left? And this is going to help how many kids do what afterwards? Because this is my listeners' hard-earned money and my hard-earned listeners. It's hard to earn them.
God bless you, brother.
Yeah, hey.
Merry Christmas to you. And to you, sir.
Yeah. It's not Christmas yet.
You can say that as often as you wish on my show.
Yeah.
That's A-OK. Yeah. There's no problem there. Everybody, you're at Dan's Camera from 10 to noon.
Yeah.
So zip on over there. Yeah. Keep my show on the phone or on your radio while you're on the way over. Yeah. Call us on the cell, and then give Bobby Gunther Walsh some hoo-ha while you're over there.
There you go.
Thank you, brother.
Whatever that is.
Oh, look at our timing. Perfection. John's not that impressed. He's come to expect it from me. Perfection, week after week. Flawlessly executing my host. Oh, wait a minute. That's Rush Limbaugh. Voice of an angel. Natalie Merchant says we're halfway through this hour of More Than Money. A couple things you need to know. I've got a fistful of emails. Way more interesting than the one who thinks that I have turned satanic. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we've got, I know I've said this before, but today I mean it. We've got Mark Basak coming in, and we're going to talk Medicare. So stick with us, 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. We'll take your calls, your emails, and more after this on More Than Money. And I never could have come this far without you. They say I must be one of the wonders. But we do offer explanations. You've got More Than Money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, live this Saturday morning. If you have a question for us, 610-720-7900. If you have an email you'd like to send, gene@askmtm.com works very, very well. If you have somebody that you care about that you'd like to listen in on the show and they're further afield, if they have internet, they have More Than Money. They just have to log on to More Than Money. Online.com, hit the Listen Live button, and they've got the show via iHeartMedia. And if they have a question, they can hit the Ask Gene button and just type that question right in. And we are absolutely thrilled to serve them. We have listeners in on the far left coast in California, north to Washington and Oregon, and throughout the Southeast, goodness, Florida and Georgia and Alabama, the Carolinas, Virginia. We are literally coast to coast and really, really happy to serve all those folks indeed. 610-720-7900 in the 9 o'clock hour. Mark Basak will be joining us. Social Security and Medicare expert extraordinaire will answer. I have a whole bunch of questions. If you have questions, that would be a good time to call those in as well. Stock market continues its imitation of the Steel Force roller coaster at Dorney Park. Up dramatically last week, down dramatically this week. One day it was down 750 and then came back 700 points by the end of the day. It is a roller coaster ride. Hopefully you're in it for the right reasons and you understand your investment approach is either appropriate for you or not. If you're not 100% sure, 610-720-7900. Again, thanks to everybody who made last week's event so very, very special. One additional thank you, an unpaid commercial announcement, apparently. Our More Than Money team enjoyed their holiday luncheon together at Two Rivers in Easton, and Two Rivers Brewery, I think. I know it's a brew pub and restaurant. The food is fabulous. Service outstanding. We just had a ball, and I want to thank everybody on the More Than Money team for making that happen as well. December newsletter is on the streets. John received his newsletter, so that's outstanding. If you receive it by email, you should have already seen it. And if you receive it by snail mail, that should absolutely be in your hands by Valentine's Day, which is nice. You can remember, you look back and go, hey, December was nice. 3 months later, 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com. Gentleman writes, we began working with a new advisor in April. I've been doing my own investing my whole life, but I thought with retirement right around the corner, it would be a good idea to have an advisor. Now I think this was a mistake. Our investments are only up a little bit. When we reviewed our portfolio with this advisor, it's gone from their advisor to this advisor. That Not good. This advisory explained that we had the bulk of our money in the stock market and that markets had fallen way off. I thought an advisor was supposed to anticipate these kinds of things and give us good returns no matter what the stock market is doing. Did I make a mistake working with this advisor? Where should I look now? Well, did you make a mistake? Yes. Yes. But it's not in working with this advisor. You made a mistake in what your expectations were of a financial advisor. The phrase, I thought an advisor was supposed to anticipate these kinds of things. Anticipate is kind of a polite term that would suggest that a person can see into the future. And in some cases, anticipation makes a great deal of sense. You know, if I'm playing baseball, there's a guy on first, there's no outs, and is it reasonable to anticipate that the batter's going to bunt? Yeah, that's a pretty reasonable anticipation. Sure. If I forget my wedding anniversary, is it a pretty reasonable anticipation I'm going to be sleeping in the doghouse for a while? Oh, yes, ketchup. I got it. So there are a lot of things that are reasonable to anticipate. And does that play a factor? Well, the answer is of course. A professional, experienced, trusted advisor will construct a portfolio. We refer to it as an all-weather portfolio. Evergreen is sometimes used as well. The idea being that it's not the portfolio structure that changes during different experiences in the market. It's that the structure itself is designed from day one to accommodate these ups and downs of the market. So if, for example, you said to your advisor, hey, I absolutely need $1,000 a month income so that I can pay my bills, a financial advisor who's wise would carve out within your portfolio a block of money that's very safe, very predictable, very reliable so that you can have that income no matter what. That's pretty straightforward. If by anticipation you mean, as this gentleman does, I know that the stock market's going down, so we're getting you out. No, that's called psychic ability. And just about the time you think you know what's going to happen, in the stock market, you're good for about 6 minutes. I think 6 minutes. Thursday, the stock market dropped 750 points, and if at the point it was down 500, you said it's going to keep going down, you were right for about another hour. And then it started going up and regained almost 700 points in an hour and a half. So if your expectation of a financial advisor is that you're going to get good returns no matter what the stock market's doing, that's a different kind of product. And it also depends on your definition of good returns. If your definition of a good return is 3%, that's easy and it's got nothing to do with the stock market. By the way, if you're listening to that and you're going, really? I think 3% is really good. And if you're saying it's easy, I'm interested. 610-720-7900. That's pretty straightforward stuff. If, on the other hand, your definition of good returns is 8%, and you expect that your portfolios are never going to go down, your mistake is not in the selection of your financial advisor. Your mistake is in your expectations. Where should I look now, he asks. I think you are likely best served by returning to self-management, self-direction. I from the tone of your letter and your email and your expectations, I think you are probably best served by doing that. Now, whether your wife is best served, different question. Different question. Might she be very well served by having an advisor that talks not just about investments in an intelligent way, but also about income tax issues, estate planning issues, etc.? I think the answer is yes. Now, is that something that needs to be done today? Depending on your age, the answer is sure. If you're relatively young, the answer may be not really. But again, I guess I'm falling prey to the same anticipation. I'm saying if you're young, I anticipate you're going to live a long time. I'm not psychic, and neither is the bus that might take you out. So if what we've discussed here is kind of the litmus test, then likely self-directed is a better way for you to go, and significantly less troublesome for both you and your advisor. If anything that I said might have changed your mind, maybe it's rethinking the conversation. 610-720-7900. That's the number that George has called. George, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Gene. I have a question. I am 76-year-old, retired, and I have both traditional and Roth IRAs. Each year, when I make the minimum required distribution from a traditional IRA, can that amount be deposited into Roth IRA, or do you need to make a separate withdrawal from the traditional IRA to qualify for the transition to Roth IRA?
Yeah, sadly, the IRS does not permit the deposit of a RMD, required minimum distribution, into a Roth. They specifically prohibit that. So any connection between the dollars coming out of a traditional as an RMD and going into a Roth would be disallowed. However, you're absolutely correct. Using simple numbers, I have $100,000. My RMD is $4,000. I must take that out completely, pay the tax. But can I then take $6,000, $8,000, $10,000 additional money out, pay the tax on that, and put that into a Roth? The answer is yes.
Only additional amounts will qualify, but not the required minimum distribution.
That's correct.
Thank you, sir.
You're quite welcome, sir. 610-720-7900. Excellent question. Lots of folks run into this issue because they are required to take minimum distributions, and they really don't want to. That is one of the most common situations that we bump up against in the More Than Money World headquarters in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, is the angst that is caused by this required minimum distribution. Hey, we don't want to take the money. Hey, we're not happy about having to pay the tax. And the question of being able to then take that and put it into a Roth and get it tax-free for the rest of their lives, very attractive. Unfortunately, as you just heard, not available. But dollars above that number can be converted, is the correct word, converted from a traditional IRA into a Roth. At almost any level, could you, if you, again, using my very simplistic numbers, if we had $100,000 in a traditional, we were required to take four, we took that, put that someplace outside of IRAs completely, could we convert the entire balance, $96,000, to a Roth IRA? The answer is yes. And what would that mean for next year's RMD? Correct, it would go to zero. It would go to zero. Good idea? Maybe. Maybe. And that's as best, that's the best that we can do. It depends is probably a much better answer, because is that a good idea? It will depend on your tax bracket, certainly. If you're in a very low tax bracket, that might be very attractive. It will depend perhaps on your age. Your expected longevity, it will depend. The longer you expect to live, the more attractive that might be to do, because if you convert to a Roth, because in your estimation, you don't need the income immediately, over the next 10 or 15 years, that can cook, that can compound, perhaps return to its former balance and perhaps even grow beyond that. And wonderful result that the money's never needed for you to support your lifestyle, can it be passed on to the next generation and have them spend it tax-free? The answer is yes. So very interesting opportunities, perhaps, certainly planning opportunities, and would would give at least food for thought for a lot of folks. And as long as you have to pay very close attention to the details, as long as you're paying attention to the details, you should be just fine. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Goodness, this is from a young lady. Young lady writes, I lost my husband 2 years ago. He always took care of the family finances. I really wasn't involved. He left me an annuity he had gotten at the bank. When he died, it was worth about $235,000. In September, the advisor at the bank told me I should annuitize and start getting a monthly income. When I went in to talk to her about it, she already had the paperwork all filled out, had me sign everything right after I got there. I know I should have read the papers over first, but I was very nervous and really didn't know what I was doing. So I followed her advice. When I got home, I did look over the paperwork, and then I called my son and talked to him about it, and I decided it wasn't for me. I called her office that night, left her a message telling her I didn't want to do this. She called the next morning and said she would simply get the paperwork back. About a week later, she called and said she had tried to get the paperwork back, but the annuity company wouldn't give it to her. And we've gone back and forth since. I've received two checks that I have not cashed. She says she's still trying to fix this, but I'm not sure I believe her. What can I do to fix all of this? Well, God bless you. God bless you. This is very tough. Your advisor is not an advisor. She's a salesperson. When you annuitized, she earned a substantial commission. She was very aware of that when she made that recommendation. So were her supervisors at the bank. Now, it's to be fair to the bank, and we don't know what bank this is, so I'm not trying to cast aspersions. I've got a pretty good arm, so I can cast aspersions pretty far. That was way funnier in my head than it came out my mouth. So let's just let that one go. I'm not casting aspersions on any particular bank because I don't know what bank this is. If I did, I might cast aspersions because there are some bank financial advisors that are simply dreadful. But I don't know that. But in this particular case, I've got some real concerns about what has happened. To be fair to some banks, they invite financial advisory companies into their bank, but they're not part of the bank. So that kind of makes sense. It's almost like they've been outsourced. So you might walk into XYZ Bank, but you're really dealing with USA Investments. And you're not. I just made that up. I should have said ABC Investments. That's more generic. So you're dealing with an investment company. Investment companies have to follow certain rules, including what this young sales, I don't know if she's young, what this saleswoman did has to be in your best interest, has to be appropriate for you, et cetera, et cetera. Clearly, it was not in your opinion. That's the only opinion that counts. You rescinded the annuitization immediately. And I'm here to tell you that between the time you signed the paperwork and that evening, no, the annuity company in all likelihood didn't even receive it yet. If the salesperson, the saleswoman, had done what she claimed to have done, hey, client changed their mind, any reputable annuity company would have said, got it, we're out of here. We're returning the paperwork, we're not interested. They still had the money. The money was still on deposit with the annuity company. They weren't out of pocket, so to speak, and nothing had yet been done, so it would have been easy. By waiting a week or so, she almost ensured that this would go through, and now she can claim, I tried. The fact that you've already gotten checks indicated that whatever she did didn't work, if she did anything. Should this be reversed? The answer is sure. you will likely need to issue a letter of complaint. But the letter of complaint's got to be very clearly directed, not just to the salesperson, but to the salesperson's supervisor, with a copy to the state insurance commissioner. In the state of Pennsylvania, it's the Department of Banking and Securities. And they are, I will give the state of Pennsylvania tremendous thumbs up. They are very pro-consumer, meaning pro-human being. In this case, the young lady that, to be fair, at her age, having lost her husband just a couple of years ago, not being the fully informed person that the salesperson will want the regulators to believe, not even close. The Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities, Dobbs, very, very active in protecting the rights of both consumers and seniors in particular. And they are very sensitive to the financial abuses that are sometimes foisted upon seniors. So in this case, what can you do to fix this? You can put your complaints in writing. When you talk to a salesman like this, they understand the rules very clearly. Verbal complaints are as if they don't exist. They can talk to you all day long. She can keep talking to you for the next month or next year, going every month, yeah, I keep trying. And the longer it goes, the more it appears that you approved of this. So you've got to get it in writing. You've got to make sure that the supervisors are aware and that the whatever state it is, if it's Pennsylvania, the Department of Banking and Securities, and if it's out of state, the Insurance Commission. Gentleman or young lady? Young lady, too shy to talk on the radio, asks, what percentage of a portfolio should be in real estate? Very wise question. And I'm going to extend that question just a little bit because there are certain types of investments that trusted professional advisors have over time. You can read time to mean decades, not weeks or months, but decades, have determined that they're very useful, they're very valuable to be held inside a diversified portfolio. But they carry volatility and risks to an extent that they should be minimized. They should be kept to a relatively small piece of an investment portfolio. So again, if I'm using $100,000 as a simple example of a total portfolio, if I'm looking at what piece might be in the real estate portion, it's going to be somewhere, in my opinion, between 1 and 6 or 7%. Some piece, again, relatively modest, certainly under 10. Certainly under 10. So if, for example, again, we're using 100,000. If, for example, you were thinking about buying a rental property, and of your 100, you were going to commit 80,000. My opinion, too much. My opinion, too much risk. Not just my opinion. There's been a tremendous amount of academic research done to support that conclusion. In addition, by the way, we just mentioned the Pennsylvania Department of Banking and Securities. If you are offered by a salesman an investment in a real estate program, there are many being offered out there. There are some being offered on our station. The Department of Banking and Securities recommends, mandates, that a real estate investment in any one program be no more than 10% of your investable assets, not your net worth, your investable assets. So if you, again, if you have $100,000, and you were being offered a opportunity, quote unquote, to invest in a program, $10,000 would be the limit. There are, and John gave me an additional note for this young lady, there are always issues that may cause these things to be exceptional. So if this young lady wishes to discuss this in detail before the end of the show, at the 10 o'clock hour. We'll be giving out our contact information. Or if you want to call back and talk to John, he'll give you contact information for More Than Money. We'll be glad to sit with you and guide you specifically to your circumstance for you and your family. Voice of an Angel, 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. In the next hour, Mr. Mark Basak. Today, I feel very confident he's going to be with us. John's got his fingers crossed, but I am totally confident. Good morning, sir. You're going to be back with us, 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com gets your Medicare questions up and running. I got some of mine. We're going to answer those after this on More Than Money.